Welcome to Answers Unleashed, a talk show to help you reshape your brain with science and faith so you find the answers in front of you. I am your host, Olympia LaPointe, and I thank you so much for tuning into this show every single week where we have the opportunity to find out how you can change your life with science and faith to find answers. Now, we all need answers. And this show is kind of fun. This show today is really, really fun. And thank you for tuning in always here on kpcradio.com. It is how to avoid fake friends. How to avoid fake friends. Have you ever been in a situation where you've known someone and you question whether or not they would really be a loyal friend to you? Have you ever been in that type of situation? Have you been in a situation where you are seeing someone do something and you think, why would they do that when they're my friend? Have you ever been in a situation where you question deep down whether or not someone has your back? Well, today we're going to help you avoid those fake friends, those people who claim to be your friend, but really when you dig down into it, they're actually there to take energy away from you succeeding in your own life. Now, I've been through a lot of situations, but one thing I haven't been through, thankfully, is any type of world wars. I haven't experienced anything in World War I or World War II, and I'm very thankful about that. But there's a psychology that actually happened in World War I and World War II, and let me tell you what the psychology was. And if I can pull this up on my phone, it is airborne leaflet propaganda. Now, you may be wondering, what on earth is she talking about? Why is she talking about this? Let me tell you what it was. According to Wikipedia, this is what it says. Airborne leaflet propaganda is a form of psychological warfare, which leaflets or flyers are scattered in the air. They are literally thrown out in the entire air system and it goes to the ground and people pick up these leaflets and they read what's on the piece of paper. These military forces, and the Wikipedia continues to say, that these military forces have used aircrafts to drop these leaflets in an attempt to alter the behavior of the combatants and non-combatants in enemy-controlled territory. Sometimes in conjunction with airstrikes. Humanitarian air missions have also been used in this case to give information about where to go to get help. In cooperation with these leaflet propaganda, this can turn into a type of psychological combat. Now, when I first found this out, it was kind of like craziness. World War One, that happened. In World War One, the British dropped these leaflets over areas in which they were striking, and the planes would come overhead, and according to the research and reading this online and the history, that these planes would come over and they would travel, and you didn't know if they were going to drop a bomb or they were going to drop papers of messages. Now, the reason why this was psychological warfare is because you didn't know if that was going to be the end of your life or if you were going to receive a message. And the psychological part of it is you were so amped up, not knowing what was going to happen, that you were so happy that it wasn't going to be a plane taking out your life with a bomb, but rather there was just a message for you to pick up. And when someone is in the midst of crisis, when someone is in a point of transition in their life, whatever messages come during that time, it sticks. Now, what happened in this period is that they put on these pieces of papers, and this also happened in World War II, that the enemy would come by and go, "Are you sure that you should be fighting for your government when you can work for us?" They would, in the military time when in the United States, when the African Americans and the people of color enrolled in the military and actually fought in the military, there was the opposition and the enemy that would drop leaflets over the African Americans and the people of color who were in the military system and said, are you sure that you should be fighting for the United States government given the fact of what type of Jim Crow you are experiencing in your nation? So this type of psychological warfare was something that was used to create severe doubt, where what you're fighting for, what you're moving towards, where you're going towards, would be in question. Well, fake friends do this to us all the time. If you are moving towards something, if you're going towards something and you're going so full force towards what it is that you want to do, if you come across a person who is not really your friend, they will give you a message that will cause doubt and you will unknowingly accept it. And that will make you start questioning what you're doing, how you're operating, if you're even on the right track. And it becomes so necessary for discernment in those types of situations that you must, no matter what, know who you are dealing with. Are they a friend or are they a foe? All right. So in this episode, you'll learn... Do you know what? It's so funny. I'm gonna put on my glasses here. For those watching, you'll see me put on my glasses. For those listening, just know I put my glasses on. You will feel a certain way after you come across these individuals that are fake friends. And let me tell you how you'll feel. One way you'll feel is that you will immediately feel tired after you talk to them. You will feel so drained after being on a telephone conversation with them that you are just like, oh my God, why was I even on the phone with that person? That's number one. So anytime you feel that way, chances are you're being drained. Two, sometimes you feel physically ill when you're around somebody who is not good for you. For example, you may go out to dinner with someone, you may eat with someone, and then afterwards you drive home, and instead of you feeling great about the time, you'll feel agitated. You'll feel like you don't know what's off, and you don't necessarily know what's going on. Sometimes you will have people who want to compete with you. And I can say this in women's cases, not quite sure how men operate. I'm a woman, so I can tell you about how a woman type of situations are. Like competing, like who dresses up the best or who meets more people or attracts the opposite sex or what are you doing that they're doing that you guys can like commonly do or compete with, or they're always... nice at first, but when it comes down to it, they're always trying to share exactly how they are very similar, but how they are having a little bit more than yourself. All right, this is what they'll do. Fake friends, what they'll do is they will admire you upon first meeting you. They'll give you so many compliments. They'll say, oh, wow, isn't it great that you're doing this? Oh, wow, you're just great. You're just great. They will pump you up in so many different ways where you will think, oh, your ego feels so good. Mm-hmm. Second thing is they sometimes are people who will often suggest to meet up. Now, that's a great thing. It is so great to have someone say, hey, let's do this, let's go here, let's do that. That's great. But if they suggest meeting up and not aware or not considering your schedule or what it is that you have to do, that's a sign that they're self-absorbed. Here's another sign. If you come across someone who speaks very poorly about some of their other friends in which they've come in contact with, and they say, oh my gosh, I had a friend, but she was just so draining. Or a guy friend goes, do you know what? I really didn't necessarily think he was cool. I just didn't believe he could like do something like he did. Anytime that you hear someone talking negatively about someone else, about what they're doing, about any type of situation of a relationship that they've had, a friend with someone else, that's a red flag. That's a red flag telling you something is not right. All right. Let me share a next one. They'll mention how they've been a victim in any one of their relationships without saying what they've learned from the relationship. Let's take an example. If you are in a situation where someone's saying, oh my gosh, I had such a horrible ex-husband. Oh my gosh. And we went through a horrible divorce and he's just a terrible person. Without saying why they chose that type of situation, that's a red flag. Anytime someone starts saying about how horrible a relationship was, what didn't happen, and saying how they have been always a victim in it, that's not a good sign. If someone were to say, do you know what? I married him at first. It was something in which I thought was going to be the best thing, but I recognized through the relationship that I'd changed and I didn't want that. And there was anger on both sides, and I recognized that I needed to place myself in a healthier situation. That's something totally different. That means that someone's taking ownership over the situation and not being a victim in any relationship. That's a difference there. Another way that someone does this is that they will, and I mentioned this before, they will compare themselves to you. They will say, oh, well, I do that too, and this is how I've done it, and I don't know why you're doing it that way. Do you want me to give you a tip on how to do this? If they don't understand that we are all unique, that we all have our own life purpose, our own journey, that's not honoring the other person. So this is the brain tip today. And you know me, I always, always give a brain tip. And these brain tips help us understand how to move forward in our life in a way that's going to change our life so we make decisions, those fractal moments, so we can unleash our power. So the brain tip is this. You have to ask yourself, why do you feel unhappy being alone? Why do you feel that you must have this person in your life? In order to have a real relationship, a real friendship, someone that has your back, someone who's really going strong, you first, are you ready for this? You first have to be real friends with yourself first. You have to be friends with yourself first. There's no other way around it. You have to date yourself. You have to get to know yourself. You have to know yourself inside and out and be there for yourself like no other friend can be. But let me tell you the issue. Most of us have never been in that type of situation to know how to do that. We are always taught we need to be having friends, we need to play with other people, we need to support other people, but never are we taught, and very few times are we taught to actually support ourselves while we are friends with other people. So this is three ways that you can help have a relationship and a friendship with yourself first so you can actually create that in your own life so you can draw people in a more healthy way. Now, to give you a little bit backstory, when people are placed into very difficult situations when they are a person in their youth, they unfortunately do not have a healthy mindset or healthy system on what a a relationship looks like, they will go into codependence, meaning they will try and do so much for the other person just to show how much they care for them, or they may not do anything at all, or it may be this tug of war where they do too much, they don't do anything, they do too much, they don't do anything, and it's not that balance. Or you come across these situations when you have gone through very tough situations as a child, and then you are grown, that you will find yourself double-minded, meaning you will think some way, and then you'll look, and then you start questioning yourself. And then every single step, you start questioning yourself whether or not your intuition's right, whether or not you should actually spend time with the person or not. And then you start thinking about what they tell you more than what it is that you are telling yourself. You may sit across the way from somebody at dinner and think, well, she seems nice. She's not doing anything bad. I mean, it wouldn't be so bad for me to hang out with her, would it be? Or when you feel like texting somebody that's not good for you, you'll think, well, one text won't affect me. I mean, it's just a text. That's what happens when you are double-minded, when you literally do not know how to trust yourself. And part of, and this is something that I'm learning too, so you and I are both in the same situation. When we are working on ourselves, we will always be tested. We will be tested in these situations where we will not know how to handle a situation until we listen to ourselves and we ask for, and in my case, I pray. I will ask God, okay, how do I handle this? Show me, point me in the right direction. When we ask for guidance and we listen to ourselves, that is the genuine relationship that we create for ourselves that we mimic out to the world through our own thoughts and through our own actions. So the first tip is this. You have to take care of yourself first and do not ask others to take care of you before taking care of yourself. You got to take care of yourself first. All right. You know, I talked about the book publishing, and I have my own book publishing company about science and mathematics and helping people understand things. And one of the biggest lessons for me was to learn how to promote myself. If I ever wanted anyone to follow me or to buy the great self-help books or to do anything, I had to learn how to invest in myself and I had to learn how to promote myself. No one else is going to do that unless you take the active steps to show your value in a way that's actually appropriate. So when I did that, then I found PR agents, and when I found booking agents and people who send me now out to speak across the world about information. But I had to learn how to promote myself and tell people the value of the products in which I created in order for other people to see that too. You, if you want something, you have to be first the person to acknowledge that you have a problem and actually take active steps to change it. That's the only way. And when you want to have a relationship, you have to first learn how to take care of yourself. You have to ask yourself, what is it that I need and how can I provide that for myself first? And then what can I not do and how can I reach out after I found out what I can't do? It's like baking a cake. You may have all the ingredients and you put everything out and you realize you don't have the vanilla. So that's when you go to the store and you get vanilla and you get help from the merchants. The second tip is you have to listen to yourself. And you know how I talk about this. You have to actually listen to yourself. Now, listening to yourself is not like how you would think it would be. It was not necessarily hearing the voice like telling you, go left, go right. You shouldn't do that. You shouldn't do that. No, no, no. Listening to yourself is very subtle. And you have to really, really just be calm and divorce yourself from any type of outcome. What you do to listen to yourself is that you just look at a situation and you think, how do I feel? How do I feel in this situation? Do I feel comfortable sitting with this person? Do I feel comfortable talking with this person? How do I feel afterwards? Listen to how your body feels. Typically, if you're around someone who is not a close friend, you will feel agitated in one way or another afterwards. And I can say this from authority because if you are like me, you're a person who is sensitive. You care. Otherwise, you wouldn't want to change the world. You wouldn't want to change your life. You wouldn't want to change the way things are. So when you encounter someone who is not aligned with where you're going, you will feel agitated because they're trying to pull you in a direction that you're not designed to go. So when you learn to listen to yourself, you no longer only listen to what they are saying, but you learn to identify if what they are saying and what you are doing is one. So you have to listen to yourself. And that's in every single situation. It's not only when you go out. It's not only when you're in a class. It's not only when you're talking to somebody. It's you have to listen to yourself. And it takes practice. And the great news is you have practice for the rest of your life. You'll be listening to yourself the rest of your life. If you decide today to start listening to yourself, congratulations. You are now on your road to becoming the person in which you're designed to be because now you have the greatest audience possible, your own. All right. So the next tip is for, especially for anyone who's single out there. If you are single, you have to do this. Are you ready? If you know me, you know I always talk about great relationships. And these type of fractal moments in these relationships where you get a chance to grow with people. But the most important thing is that you get a chance to grow with yourself. So if you are single and if you are out there looking for Mr. Right, this is what you have to do. Or Mrs. Right, this is what you have to do. You have to date yourself first. Now, what does that mean? That means that you must be willing, no matter what, to go someplace and do something on your own that makes you feel great. Treat yourself to something nice. And it doesn't have to be expensive. It doesn't have to be something outlandish. But you have to choose to spend time with yourself in the places you love going, in the things you love doing. If you're a person that loves going camping, let's say you're a person that loves going camping. You would just love to go camping with someone else and you can't. All right, that's fine. Take one day, one afternoon, go hike by yourself in a camping area. Simple, but it's effective. You must treat yourself to something in which brings you joy. When you have that pleasure in your life, it actually helps you attract pleasurable situations. If you love dining, and let's say you're a woman. Do you know what? I must tell you this story. I knew this woman, and she was in the situation where she was single, and she didn't have much money, and she would purposely find dates just to take her out someplace nice. And she would complain about sometimes the dates that she would come across. And I thought to myself, oh my God, I don't know how you can do it. I can't spend time with anybody that I don't like for more than 5 minutes. Well, if she only took this one tip, which was this, if she would get herself dressed up and take herself to somewhere she really enjoyed and got coffee, she would have the best time of her life. All right. So this is the whole point of this show. No one can fill a void in your life except you by being with yourself to know exactly how you can be a friend of yourself first. When you're a friend of yourself first, there is something that happens. You become one. You're no longer that 8-year-old wishing to play with someone on the playground. You're no longer a teen wishing that you could fit in. You're no longer one of these people who have gone through life trying to figure out how on earth that you can make a difference. Because you will be making a difference in your own life first. Now, this is something that we're all doing. You're not alone. I do it too. Great people have done this too. Oprah has done this. President Barack Obama has done this. They have learned to become one with themselves. And the way you do that is that you avoid these type of situations that are draining. and you start investing in the friendship with yourself. I am always so happy every week to share information with you here on Answers Unleashed. Tune in to kpcradio.com every Tuesday at 2. This is now season 5. Can you believe it? Yeah! This is season 5. Tune in every single week. You can always call in and ask us answers at 888-88-ANSWERS. Ask us a question. We may answer it on air live for you. And you can find all the past podcasts at answersunleashed.com/podcast, and you can check out our book also on answersunleashed.com/books. I am your host, Olympia LaPointe, helping you reshape your brain with science and faith so you find the answers in front of you. I'll see you next time.